EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you're all having a great week. That's right, we have a bonus episode for you today. Today's guest is Paula from West Yorkshire in the UK. Now, you may have heard of Paula's account in the UK newspapers last week, and they did what they always do and screwed it up. So Paula is joining us to set the record straight about her abduction experiences over the years. But before we hear from Paula, I would like to say a big thank you to everyone that has left a 5-star ratings and review on Apple Podcasts recently. And they are Slug Jones, Eric Zibik, Sam San, Lone Star KJ, Fug MF Nasty, The Music Man 2010, Canuck David, and finally Big Daddy O 1969. These ratings really help the show to reach more future listeners, so I really appreciate you taking a couple of minutes of your time to leave a review. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find the link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Paula.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us today and calling from West Yorkshire in the UK.
Yeah, Bradford, West Yorkshire. Yeah.
That's great. Now, you've had several experiences beginning at the age of 12 years old. Would you like to start there for us, please, Paula?
Yeah, it was 1982 to 83. Now, as I've got older, I can't get the date correct, but because I was born in December, so it could have been October 1982 or October 83. Anyway, it was dark. I'm assuming we'd finished school. And because if I was going to go out with my friend, I'd have gone to this place during the day and not in the evening. I'd met up with my friend. I'd either called for her or she'd called for me, vice versa. And it was about 6:15 in the evening. We'd normally hang about. My mum had said to me, yes, I'm 12-year-old. So my mum said, you've got to be in at 9:00. Stay in the area because it's dark. So at about 6:15, I probably met my friend earlier than that. I can't recall. But at about 6:15, 6:30, I said, oh, what are we doing then? You know, are we hanging about here or wherever we're hanging about on the streets? So she says, oh, no, we'll go for a walk in woods. What woods? You know, I didn't. Now there's a park just over the road from me. So there's a little bit of a woodland next to the park. My 12-year-old brain thinking, oh, right, we must be going to a park then, this little woodland next to the park. And we actually set off in the opposite direction of the park. And I did say to her, well, this isn't Waitat Woods. And she says, no, we're going to Judy Woods. And Judy Woods is, I'd say, between 1.5 to 2 miles from my home. We did walk fast. We didn't mess about. We might have stopped now and again, gone to the shop, do what have you. And I were like, up for that. I were up for going for this walk to somewhere different than hanging about on the streets. Anyway, so I never asked her what we were going there for, but I'm assuming it were to meet other friends that we had, you know, or just somewhere different to go. So sets off 6:15 to 6:30, and it was dark. The moon was big and bright. I can't remember whether it was a full moon. I know it was definitely not a new moon, but it was big. So the stars were clear, a lovely, calm, clear evening. Now, I'm going to this place that I've never been before. And we comes across as we're walking and talking and stuff. And we come to a council estate, which I now know as Woodside in Bradford. And so we get to this council estate. And I'm thinking, where are these woods? So she's leading me way down this path. Now, down this path, there's a fence at each side, which is enough room for both of us to walk in. So we've got this 6-foot wooden fence at each side. It would just, the moonlight was kind of casting the floor, so we could see partially where bits of mud was or gravel or whatever we was walking on. We still got that slight vision, you know, that we could see, but it was, as we were getting further down this path, the trees from the woods were starting to overlap the fence, then cutting out the moonlight, but it wasn't completely black, so we still could see. It was just a bit more difficult. Beyond the fence, I could see the council houses getting further away. Now and again, I'd get a glimpse of a bathroom window or a bedroom window lit up each side of this fence. So this pathway is getting narrower to the point where we had to walk in single file. I can't remember whether I walked in front of her or she walked in front of me, but we continued down this short walk of a path. And then it kind of, with the trees overlapping, then it kind of come to a clearing. I can't tell you how long this path was. I mean, it's irrelevant really, but we kind of come to this clearing and I could see then way beyond about half a mile away, lights, like street lights and house lights. And so, you know, there were tiny little dots, you know, and I could then hear what sounded like lapping of water. It's then that I kind of suddenly stopped and I thought, oh God, I'm going to fall in water. You know, it's like I'm in darkness. I'm going to fall in this water. But then as my eyes adjusted to that darkness more, I could see then what looked like what I thought was moonlight shining off the lapping of the water and making that ripple. So I thought, oh, well, maybe it's probably 10 feet in front of us, this water now. So I thought, oh, well, we can get a bit closer. So we walked a few more paces. So between the water and my feet, then we're probably about 5 feet away. So I'm kind of stood there and I'm still kind of gazing round. I can still see the lights, the orange street lights, half a mile away. And house lights, and to the left of me, it was, I think the woods was more dense because I couldn't see anything in front of me at that point, not anything that had light up, but I could see the outline of the trees. So I think that was blocking whatever was behind, if it was houses behind it. Neither of us spoke, whether we did or not, I don't recall that, but I'm sure we didn't speak. It was so bizarre. The feeling I was having was not normal, you know, and the atmosphere was changing. I could feel, I don't know what it was. People say a static feeling, you know, or like an ozone taste. I can get that. I can get it. Whether it was that, I'm not sure. But then it was like everything just went silent. I could no longer hear. I could still see. I could see the lights in the distance. But the lapping of the water stopped. Everything just stopped. It's like time just stopped. There was no noise, but I could hear my own heartbeat. And it wasn't going fast, it was normal, but it would do, 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 do. And I could hear it so clear. And it's like, I didn't even look at my friend. I knew she was stood next to me and she was on the right-hand side of me, maybe a couple of feet away from me. Then it was like something was blocking these kind of lights in the background, and I know that this something was moving. My eyes, I'm focusing and my eyes are adjusting to what I'm looking at. And whatever it is, looks like it's a boomerang, but with an extra arm on the end. It, you know, that boomerang shape, but it's got that extra bit and it's turning and it's, looking at it now as an adult, I can see the size of it. And I could say it's about 30 feet wide by 30 feet tall. And rather it being something flat across, it's upright. And it's turning between probably 1 to 5 miles an hour going clockwise. Now, as a 12-year-old child, I didn't know what miles per hour were. I know my mum used to say that word and she said it a lot in the car. It didn't mean anything to me. But now as an adult, I can say what speed it was. And turning clockwise, and it had three lights, one light on each of these arms. The arms of this thing was not pointed, they were rounded, but they didn't come to a pointing round. It, you know, there was totally the same width from top to bottom. And each arm had a light on it. And the light, one was blue, one was green. I cannot think at all what this colour was, this other colour was. It's there, I can see it, but I cannot tell you what colour it is. There wasn't bright, these lights. I can't even say how big they were, but they wasn't bright, but they were more like when you turn a light down on a dimmer switch. And I can't tell you the hue of the colours either, so I can't tell you whether that red was a crimson red, a cherry red, letterbox red. I can't tell you, but all I know it's red. Same with the blue. I can't tell you whether it's electric blue, light blue, dark blue. I can't tell you, but I know it's blue. And maybe that's because that 12-year-old child, me, colours are just colours. You know, as an adult, it's a you, but I'm looking through my 12-year-old eyes now. It then cast a light from underneath it, which come out like a fan. The craft itself was hovering, from the points of this craft, I could see that it was probably 5 feet above the water. And it then cast this fan-shaped light from underneath it. So if I've come to the conclusion that if this craft is moving clockwise, but yet this light is straight onto the water and it's made a circular shape on the water, then something maybe at the back is stationary in order for that light to stay where it is. Otherwise, the light would be turning clockwise and with the actual thing that I'm seeing. And I could see then that the water was kind of not boiling, but slightly seething, and like a mist was coming off it. I can't say whether it was vapor, I can't say whether it was condensation or whatever it was, but I know it was like a mist kind of vapor sort of thing. It wasn't thick. I could still see through it. It wasn't thick and it was only a fine layer, whatever it was. And I were confused. I were like, I've never seen anything like it before. What does a 12-year-old child do? You know, I've never seen this. It didn't scare me at that moment because I was such in awe and confusion. You know, I've never seen anything like that before, you know. So what am I supposed to feel? I then noticed at my peripheral view that my friend was stood on the left-hand side of me. I can use my peripheral view. I don't know how, but I can focus on something in front of me since that moment, but use my peripheral view just as good as what I'm looking at that's right in front of me. And she stood there, same place, but on the left-hand side. It was then that I turned and looked at her, and she had this horrified, absolutely horrified look on her face. It was a face, and I was just so lost in thought and everything. All these emotions that I've never had was just there. Everything was just there, and when I saw her face, it was, that's when the emotions triggered. I was scared. I was terrified. I was traumatized. I was in awe with what was going on. I didn't want to move because I just wanted to know what this thing was. And then she's got this face, but I'm not seeing. Why is she lit up? I didn't notice that at first. It were her face that I saw. And her eyes were bulging because she's traumatized. She's terrified. And I looked at her and then I realized she's got this blue light on her. And this light's just not reflecting off anything except her. And it's not, there's no light on the ground. There's nothing above her. There's nothing behind her. And then I looked down at myself and this blue had lit up me. And I kind of raised my hand and the light was on my hand. And I kind of looked at my body. And then I thought, oh my God, oh my God. And it hit me. I have to run. I have to run. I have to escape this. And it was like as if the feeling that I had was like, as if I have had that moment of feeling before from something, I don't know what, I don't recall, but I recognised that moment of fleeing and I grabbed her, I spun round, my right arm grabbed her right arm and I literally dragged her. I said, effing run, effing run. She never spoke a word. And we ran and I literally dragged her up this alleyway with the, you know, the wooden fence at each side. I don't know whether that light was still on us while I were running. I really don't because I didn't look back. Why would I want to look back? And as we're running, I could feel darkness coming in. And when you have this darkness coming in. Anyone that's fainted would know that moment that you're going to faint, you get a blackness coming in. It's like somebody closing curtains until you've got a pinpoint of light, and then it just switches off and you pass out. It's a bit like that, but you don't get that feeling with it. It's just it's like the curtains coming, you're going, and it feels like I'm running in quicksand or syrup, and my running's getting slower. Everything is slowed right down, and I feel like I'm sinking into the ground. I'm gone. I am now at the bottom of my street. I'm walking. I didn't stop. It wasn't like I'd stopped and I just walked. I was walking. And that is all I remember. I'm walking round the corner up my street. And I could hear children. And I'm thinking, oh, I'd forgotten what had just taken place. Instantly, it didn't exist. Whatever happened to me did not exist in that moment of time. My focus was on why, oh, they're having a party, there's loads of kids on the street, and I can hear, you know, parents stood outside and people talking. And as I'm walking up the street, confronted by kids on the BMXs and you know, I know there were BMX. This is the time when the BMX had come out, and all every kid in, you know, had one, you know, and it's like they're there, and I'm looking at them, and they're saying, "Oh, she's here, Paula's here, Paula's here," and all I'm thinking is, "Oh, I'm missing out on a party." But as I'm walking up the street, I'm thinking, why is he a policeman at my door? This is at my grandma's house. This is at the house I'm in now. Why is he a policeman stood at my door? And as I'm getting further up, these kids are starting to say, "You're in trouble. You're in trouble." It was then that party mode when I'm going to go to prison. I'm going to prison. That's my 12-year-old mind. That the police are looking for me and the children are telling me I'm in trouble, but I don't know what I've done. I really do not know what I've done. I know that I've gone to the woods. I know then when it's just hit me again that I've seen something I shouldn't have seen, but I still don't remember how I got home. That moment is gone. It's gone. It'll be gone forever. And I'm thinking, why is police, why am I going to prison? And I started crying. I was really, really distraught. And I started crying as I'm going up the path. I've got children telling me I'm in serious trouble. Children telling me police have been looking for me all night. And I'm walking up the path and I'm thinking, what have I done? What have I done? Yeah, I'm going to be in serious trouble for going to the woods. I was 12 years old, for God's sake. But I was still home before 9 o'clock. As I approaches my grandma, who's blocking the doorway, and the policeman, who was called PC Milner, he'll be long deceased, and he was to the left of the door. And as I'm approaching, and all I wanted to do was run in that house, because I didn't want them kids seeing me upset, because 12-year-old kids aren't right nice. They don't have that empathy. They don't have that, you know, that thing where I shouldn't be tormenting her like this, you know. And all I wanted to do was get in that house, but my grandma had blocked the doorway with her arm. She was a big, burly woman, but she also blocked the doorway with her arm. So I was forced to stand next to the policeman and my grandma in front of her. And it was the policeman that said, "Where have you been? Your grandma has been looking for you for hours." And I'm like, and I'm thinking in my head, but it's before 9 o'clock. Before 9 o'clock. I know it's before 9 o'clock. And the confusion And everything about it is, it's like, I feel dizzy. I feel dizzy because I'm so confused. And I'm like, what? And my nan's saying, where have you been? Where have you been? I could not tell her that I've been to Judy Woods. I would get a right telling off. I didn't want to be grounded for 2 weeks. But then, in other words, I wasn't lying either, because where was that other part gone that I don't remember? And eventually, my nan saw that I was getting more distraught. And policeman said to me, do you realise what time it is? Well, in my mind, it's not even 9 o'clock yet. And I said, no, through these tears. He says, you've had your nan worried, so worried and upset. It's 5 to midnight. Well, a 12-year-old is irrelevant at 12-year-old. But where have I been? 5 to 12. And just goes in, my grandma drops her arm, and I mean, I remember coming straight through. I goes upstairs and I went into bed. I put them sheets over my head in bed because I did not want to confront my grandma and for my grandma to say, where have you been? Where have you been? So I pretended to fall asleep. And I must have fallen asleep. Because in the morning, I woke up and I really did not want to go to the bathroom. I really did, but I had to. And I thought the slightest movement on those floorboards, my grandma will know that I'm up. And she will say to me, where were you last night? And I thought, well, if I do not go to that bathroom, I'm going to have a serious accident. So eventually I got up and I went to the bathroom and I thought, well, I'm going to have to go downstairs. I have to do. And I come downstairs and I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the bollocking, the biggest bollocking of my life, which did not happen. It did not happen. She said, do you want a cup of tea? As she normally would every morning. And I said, yeah. And I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. And she's just sat there. She's doing what she normally does, as she did every morning. Not one word got said about it. Not one word. And I was so confused. And I'm thinking, I'm sat there on the settee and I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Where were my friend? When I were walking up that street, why weren't my friend with me? I don't get it. I don't get it. So I thought, right, I'm going to have to ring her up. I'm going to have to meet up with her because we saw each other every day. So I'm assuming this morning was a Saturday. I can't say for sure, but I don't recall going to school. And I certainly wouldn't ring my friend before school. And I rings my friend up. I says, oh, what are you doing? But I had to act normal. I couldn't say, where have you been? You know, what happened last night? Because my grandma would over here. I didn't want that. You know, it might trigger a thought in her mind to say, where were you last night? So I had to put this act on, like, you know, where are you? Shall we meet up? Yeah, all right then. I goes back upstairs. I get dressed. I'm still on tenterhooks, and I'm thinking, if I go back down them stairs, my nan's going to remember and question me. No, I goes downstairs, not a thing. Right, nan, I'm off out. All right, then, yeah, make sure you're back in. What? I were fully expecting. I could see the kids on the street on the bikes and running about with the skipping ropes. And I'm fully expecting the kids to say, what did police say to you? Nothing, nothing. I walked past them. Hiya, Paula. Hi, Paula. That's all I were getting. And I walks past them, crosses over the street, goes to meet my friend. And we met halfway. And I says to her, what time did you get home last night? And I did not say it in that way as to make it look like something happened. I said to her, what time did you get home last night? She said, oh, it were about 10 past nine. I says, do you remember last thing about getting home? And this is coming from my 12-year-old. It was more of an adult thought than a 12-year-old thought. What 12-year-old asked that question? What time did you get home last night? And she said, oh, it were at 10 past nine. And I said, do you remember about it? Where? What, from walking from the woods, which I know we did not do, from walking where, from that woods, what do you remember about getting in the house? And she said, I just remember being stood in front room and then going to bed. I had a cup of coffee, stood in front room and went to bed. I said, so you don't remember walking in that house? And she went, no. I said, we went to woods, didn't we? And she went, oh, yeah. Went at woods. I said, do you remember how after that? And she went, no. No, just casual, no. And I'm like, what? And to this day, it's like I still cannot get, I cannot pull that blackness out. Hours, and you know, I'd say it would 3.5-4 hours missing time that I will never, ever gain back. So shortly after, me and my friend used to hang about together every day. And this went on for years. We were best friends. And shortly after that incident, as friendship started dying out, and to the point of I only saw her once a blue moon and then not at all. And so I've nobody to verify this. My grandma passed away in 1992. The policeman passed away. He were old anyway. In my eyes, in the 12-year-old child's eyes, he was old anyway, so I know that it'll be gone. The children that were on the street moved away years later or whatever. I don't know where my sister was. She could have been at a friend's. She was 2.5 years older than me anyway, so she might have been staying out at a friend's. My mum, I don't think to this day that she ever knew what had gone on, because my grandma was actually quite soft with me. I got away with a lot of stuff, so she probably didn't tell my mum what I'd done, because I'd lived from my mum's to my grandma's from the age of 5 and finally settled at my grandma's because my mum worked full time. And so I have nobody to back my incident up. And no matter what I say, I know my truth and it will stay with me and haunt me for the rest of my life.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
What about some of your experiences that you've had after that?
After that, well, I have had experiences before that when I was 4 years old and 6.
What is it you remember about being 4?
At 4 years old is when it first started. Went to nursery and in the mornings, my sister would be at school all day, like I said. So she'd be 4, 5, 6, 7.5. So she were at school full time, whereas I was half days at nursery. And I lived with my mum then, which is on the same street as I am now, as what happened when I were 12 now. But it was the other side of the street. I know that during this time when this thing happened, and used to come home from school. Sometimes my mum would buy a fish for my dinner. And my mum were terrified of cats, so we'd have to run in the house with this fish. So anyway, I goes in the house and I'd get changed in a pretty dress or whatever, because the lady at the top of the street used to do rock and roll dancing or salsa dancing or whatever. Didn't have a clue what the dancing was. All I were interested in were these big dresses that had loads of layers that, to me, looked more like a princess. And she used to give me these dresses. But obviously these dresses had to be tied at knots at the top where the, you know, the straps were. Anyway, I'd put these dresses on and I'd go play in the back garden. I'd be on my own. And the midden tops where, you know, where the old toilets used to be outside. And we had a slab of stone on the top and I used to clamber up onto the wall, onto this slab of stone. And I'd get a piece of stone and I'd be trying to write my name and drawing little pictures, little flowers and stuff like that. And I remember always seeing, before this incident happened, I remember always seeing what looked like a blackbird. It looked like a blackbird now, but it was just a bird at first. Everything, every bird was just a bird. To me, it didn't have a name. It was just a bird at 4 years old. You know, like looking at a car. Every car was just a car. It didn't have a name, a model. It was just a car. So I remember seeing this bird on this roof opposite. It was just there all the time. And I'd just sit and carry on with what I were doing. And I'm a great animal lover. So I were attracted to whatever it was. You know, I'm a collector of cats, a crazy cat lady. So, and I'm sat in this midden, I'm drawing a little thing. And then this bird flies down to me and sits next to me. I don't mean sits on its bum, obviously. You know, it's next to me. It's black and it's got like an orangey, reddy beak. And it starts talking as what we call telepathy now, which to me at 4 years old is normal. And it's talking to me and it's asking me questions. And it's saying, do you like your family? This is all telepathy. Well, to me at 4 years old, this is just normal to me because I can do it. I didn't think it were anything different. I thought everybody could do that until I realised years later they couldn't. So, and it's talking to me, it's asking me these questions. Do you like your family? Did you like your dinner? The basic, the simple questions that a four-year-old can understand. Do you like school? There's probably other questions in there. I know there were, but I can't remember what they are. And I either answer verbally, telepathically, or a mixture of both. And then it'd fly off. It wouldn't answer back. It just wanted those answers. It were happy with those answers and it'd fly off back onto the roof opposite. This went on for weeks. It could have been months, but as a four-year-old, every day is just a day. Weeks, months don't exist. A day is a day and that's it. I don't recall it coming every day to visit me, although I could have been in the house. It could have rained that day that it didn't come. I don't know. But it had come down again when it did come and I'd have my bouncy dresses on again. I'd be drawing on the wall. And it was the same routine that I'd do because it was my thing. Perhaps now and again, I'd take one of my little dolls on the wall with me or a little teddy bear. It'd come down again. And I know it'd ask the same things in different format. Bit like interrogation, what we'd call interrogation now, but on a four-year-old level. So it'd ask the same questions again. Do you like your family? Do you like going to school? What have you had for your dinner? And I'd answer it telepathically or verbally or a mixture of both. Now, my mum's picked up on this. She's in the house. The back door is open. She's picked up on me talking to someone and she's thinking, oh, she's talking to her. Automatic thought, bloody hell, my child's on that wall. She might get taken. Or is she talking to a neighbour? She's had to come to the door and she says, Paula, who are you talking to? And she sees the bird on midden top. And I said, bird. And I've named it. Now, I found out it was my mum, that told me that I had named it Inca. Where? I don't even know. I don't even remember this. I don't even know where I got the word from, name from, anything about that. I don't remember it, but I'll get back to that. So the final time it come down, this bird, it traumatized me because it sat there and it said, it didn't say out for the longest time. It only could have been minutes. But to me, it was a long time and it just sat there like it was just watching me. It said would move if I put my hand down to draw a little thing on the top, on the wall thing. It'd watch what my hand were doing and then it'd look up at me. And it's like, wasn't what it was. Now looking at it, it wasn't what it was. Maybe it was something else that disguised itself as a bird. It come down and it sat there watching everything I did. It then said, I've got to go and I won't be back. And I burst out crying. I won't be back, but I will be back when you're older. It didn't quite say it in them words, but I know that it said that. I was traumatised for days. And I remember going in and crying to my mum and a bird's gone and it's not coming back. Whether I'd said them words like that, but I know I said it. And my mum's trying to console me. And eventually I got over it. I got over this bird. The memory I didn't get over, it's still raw in my mind, but the bird I got over. So let's go forward to 2012. I've kept this. I didn't know that my mum knew that I thought for all those years that I'd imagined this. So I never mentioned it to my mum, even though she was witness to it. But did I imagine it? Did I imagine it? No, I didn't, because it was still raw in my mind up to 50-year-old, which I am now. So around 2012, Sasha Christie meets my mum. Sasha's come to my home and my mum come over the road and I'm thinking, oh no, my mum's here, because I've never, ever, ever told her about my experiences, ever, even though she has seen spirits, but never mentioned these bloody things that I've seen all my life, you know, and whether it be alien spirit or UFO, I didn't want her to know that. It's embarrassing. I won't be believed. And I now look back and wish that I could have that one day with my grandma, because I know that my grandma was like me, which comes into another account. So I'll go back to 2012. Sasha is here. My mum's here. And I'm thinking, please, Sasha, don't mention paranormal in front of my mum. You know, otherwise you're going to come out with my experiences, you know. And it was my mum that actually said to Sasha, not to me, to Sasha, and then saying it to me after, oh, you remember that, Paula? And I'm like, really? Sat there really embarrassed. And I'm thinking, you're not supposed to know this. How do you know this? That bird that you used to talk to on Midden Top, that used to fly off every time I come at door. Do you remember? She said, she looked at Sasha and said to Sasha, yeah, she used to call it Inca. That was the first time ever that I knew that I had called it Inca. And I was so shocked. And I'm like, what? I don't even think I spoke, because I were in that much shock. And Sasha Christie to this day can verify that moment in time. And we've looked, Sasha then immediately looked into it. And I never did that. I never researched that connection between Inca and this bird that I was seeing. She's got onto it straight away. There's a type of blackbird and it's called Inca. Was I shocked and taken aback? So the end of that first encounter. I ever had.
How very strange.
Yeah, I think that was the build-up to it, the very start, and it come down as a bird, a subtle thing. I liked birds, I liked all animals, as a subtle thing that was small and that wasn't terrifying, and to start me off this roller coaster. Yeah, that's what I believe now, yeah.
Your earliest memory is at 4, then you had this UFO experience with the missing time at 12 years old.
Yes, the first experience of what you call a grey at 6 years old.
And what memories do you have of that, 6 years old?
We had a dog. I lived with my mum, or were I? No, I was living with my grandma, but living with my mum. Like I said in the previous, it was like transferring. I was sometimes with my mum, sometimes with my gran, until I eventually lived here. That time I were at my mum's, and we had a dog, a golden Labrador called Candy. I don't know where my sister was again, because me and my sister never got on. Total opposites. You know, I like flowers. You know what I mean? She didn't like them. I like certain music. She didn't like. How can you get on with a person who we have absolutely no thing together that you can enjoy? So we're probably in separate rooms, or she might have been staying at my grandma's over here. I don't know where she was. So I still don't get on with her this day. So anyway, I'm playing about. It was dark. Could have been October-ish again. It was dark. And my mum was in the kitchen. And she's always had this thing about sitting in the kitchen when the washer's on. I don't know why, but it's like an OCD thing. And she sat there on this little stool, and she's always done it. Up until the day she got poorly with cancer, she always watched the washer go around with a coffee and a cigarette in hand. So I'm in the front room and I'm messing about with dog. Now, something I said to this dog and did, I had never done it before, and I don't know why I did it. I really don't know why I did it. But I said to the dog, Candy, there's a pig at the window, which is unusual when you look back at it. Why would there be a pig at window? So I said to her, oh, come on, look out window. Never had that thing. It was just this moment that there's a pig at window. So the curtains are slightly open, not with like a 2 foot gap. They are open, but they weren't wide open, you know. They were enough for me to stand there and the dog to jump up. And it was dark outside and the main light was on, you know, the ceiling light was on. You couldn't see outside because of the reflection on the window bouncing back from the light. So when you just sat there or looked out, it's just complete blackness. Unless you went up to the window, then you could see house light, you know, house window lights and stuff. And I'm busy playing with dog, calling it. And I'm now stood at the wall, leaning on the wall at the side of the window. I'm saying, come on, Candy, there's a pig at window. And she comes running in from the kitchen. So it's a game to her as much as it's a game to me. And I knew she were enjoying it, so I kind of carried on. But my mum were getting a bit annoyed with me. And she said, Paul, will you stop it? Stop winding dog up, you know? But it wasn't. I knew that Candy were enjoying it. And she'd come bounding in with her big paws and put her front paws on the windowsill and look out at window, and then realised, oh, there's no there, and put her paws back down floor and run back in to my mum. So she were waiting for me to call her again because she had that giddy tail going and everything. So I'd call her again, Candy, come on, there's a pig at window. And I'm still leaning against the wall. Did it about 3 or 4 times. My mum's shouting at me, Paula, knock it off now. But I think it wasn't because I were winding dog up. I think she was sick of hearing me repeating the same words over and over again. So the final time was, I've called the dog, Candy, there's a pig at window, and I'm sniggering because I know that I'm winding my mum up now, not the dog. And I'm sniggering to myself. The paws, she comes bounding in, paws straight up at window. And something at that moment changed. Candy was such a soft dog. She never barked. She never growled. She was so placid. I'm right next to her, but leaning on the wall, and I'm kind of giggly because she's got her paws up. Something that that moment changed. And she had this low, quiet growl. And I'm like, whoa, what's she making that noise for? I didn't realise she were growling. You know, I'm 6 years old. I didn't know she were growling at someone out at window. I didn't even know what the noise was, because I'd never probably heard a dog growl before. So it was like, what's this thing, noise that she's making? Why? She then slowly pulled away a muzzle away from the glass of the window, very slowly, and dropped down onto the ground, never taking a look from that window. And she started walking backwards, really, really slow, as she still got this low, quiet growl going on. She gets to the centre of the room and spins round. I have never seen anything move as quick as that. And she spun round that fast and legged it into that kitchen, like fast, like something were chasing her. Everything kind of went silent, just like it did in the woods, that silent, strange atmosphere. Bearing in mind, when I'm in that room, I can hear that washer going, that doof, 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 or when it spun. You know, I could hear the television. But this silence, the telly's still on, but there's no noise from anywhere, nothing. And I thought, what was she looking at out of that window? And I kind of comes away from the wall. I kind of puts my face up to glass. And all I'm seeing now is like, if one of the window, you know, houses opposite have got the lights on, I could see it. I could see the lights. But anything closer than that, I couldn't see because of the reflection of the big light on the window. So I had then to cup my hands around my face in order to block the light out. I've cut my hands around my face, got light out, and pressed my hands right up to the glass. It's then now my eyes are adjusting to that darkness that right in front of me, just outside the window. Something is blocking the view of looking straight across. And what I saw was the most strangest thing that 6 year old could see, was these two big, what I can say is almond-shaped eyes now, but I couldn't put a word into it then. These big black eyes staring right back at me. It didn't scare me because I didn't know what the hell it was, but it made me jump. So yeah, I've gone, ooh, like this, and made that probably a slight scream or, you know, because I've just jumped, you know. It's when you jumps out on you, you jump. And so it's like, oh, because I wasn't expecting that. Even if it were a person stood behind that, it's just surprised me. I've jumped. So I've kind of gone back, you know, away from the windowsill. And even though my eyes are still adjusted, so I can still see what's happening out there. And what has happened is at the moment, I haven't taken my eyes away from it while I've jumped. My eyes are still focused on this thing that was staring right back at me. But as I'm going back, it is going back. So it's like as if I've made that jump. I've shocked it by jumping. and it's had the same impact on each other. Whether it did that, I don't know, or whether it was just copying my mannerism, you know what I mean? I don't know, but I know what I bloody saw, and it wasn't human. So as I, looking at it, I kind of took a little bit of a step. I didn't want to go too close to glass, but I'm a few inches away. I didn't want nose-to-nose contact like I had before, but I were a few inches away. And I saw it was going backwards. So it still got them dense black eyes that are on me, that are looking directly at me just as I'm looking directly at it. And as it's going backwards, it's kind of making a slow motion, running motion. There's a wall about 2 feet away from the window that I'm looking out of, and the wall is about 2 feet high, 2.5 feet high, and it's making this slow running motion, but it never actually touched the wall to go over it, but it also looked like it was gliding at the same time. It was just so bizarre. It's so bizarre. I just couldn't figure out how anyone or anything could make that kind of movement. So as it's kind of landing, still facing me, the entire body now is facing me. So I could see then, because of the wall is blocking the bottom half of it, I can now see just below its knees. I'm now seeing a blue, what looked like a dark blue, what we'd call a tight-fitted lycra suit now. At 6 years old, I can't put a name of that. It's just a blue thing that it's wearing, you know, and what looks like blue. And this thing has got, it's a rounded neck, tight-fitting anyway, so it stops at what we call the wrists. But at that 6 year old, I have no idea what it is, but it's bloody blue and it's different to the rest of it, you know? It's then I notice I'm kind of looking at it up and down as it's looking at me. And it's then I notice the hands. Well, is it a hand? I don't know. But it's got these bloody long fingers. And the colour of it is definitely grey. Same with the head. And I just cannot see any kind of nose. And I'm like, what is this little thing? It's this little thing that we call a mouth. What's that? I've never seen a creature like it before. And it's got this big head. Suddenly, it turns. It's so fast the way it turns, just at sight. After all that slow motion it did, all of a sudden it went into ultra-fast speed just to turn to face up the street. Is this? But because it hasn't done anything physically to me, I am not traumatised. It's just made me jump. I'm surprised. I'm in awe. And I can't take my eyes off it. Is this thing escaped from zoo? What is it? But as it's making now a motion like it's going to start running. It's going to start running. I know it is. But as it's starting to run, it kind of leans right over. The head is still on level looking at me. It's not tilted to the side as it would be. You know, when a human bends over, you turn your head is on its side. With this thing, it bent over. The head was still straight up and it was looking at me. It then run. But it was the way it frigging runned. It was gliding, but making that run in motion again, just as it did over the wall. It ran, it looked at me. It basically, It was as if it could turn its head, to its face to the back, you know, as if it could turn it all the way around. And it continued to look at me as it run in this weird sort of way and up past my neighbours until I could no longer further see beyond the window, the corner, right to the end of the window. I kind of followed the window as far as the window could take me to see where it were going. But because I could only get near the end of my neighbour's house, and then my vision stopped because obviously the window's not wide enough, I can't tell you then which way it went. Did it go down the back alleyway where I used to sit with my bird, or did it go straight up? Then this shock hit me. I had to shut them curtains. I got scared. I were terrified. I were petrified. I closed these curtains. It was then my mum said, "What are you doing? What are you doing in there? Leave them curtains alone." Everything kind of switched on. The noise came back. Everything just carried on as normal, as if this thing just never happened. And that's all I can say about that, because I can't figure out what else it could be. But then as I got older, I realised when I'd seen this figure in a book, I shut the book and I burst out crying, because I knew then that this thing, somebody else had actually seen it. You know, this was like maybe, what, in my 20s when I realised that. So I'd kept that so quiet for that long, you know, and that's that bit.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, fine. Just get a bit emotional over it. I know it sounds bizarre. I know. Somebody out there has had this and is still going through it to this day, and it continues.
How long was it before you started having these experiences in your 20s?
13-year-old. I had a tube insertion with the greys in my back, and it was horrible. It was just horrible. I was sat on, I think it was a craft, because it was nothing that I knew of at 13-year-old that looked like anything that I'd ever seen here on Earth, you know? And do you want me to tell you this?
Only if you want to.
Right. I was 13. I could have been 14. I know it was shortly after the Judy Woods incident where the craft was, and I'm with my friend and... You know what I mean? I know it was shortly after that, so I could have been 13, 14. I know I want 15. So anyway, I'd gone to bed, and I don't remember falling asleep. I remember getting in bed, but I just don't remember falling asleep. Now, whether I don't remember, it might be because it's irrelevant, but then all I remember is I'm sat what looks... I can't figure it out whether it looks metal. I'm trying to look at it now. I'm trying to look at side of me to work out whether it looks metal, but white metal, but then it looks plastic at the same time. I can't figure it out because I were a very skinny child. I could fit another person next to me and perhaps two behind me on what looks like one solid kind of a bench. I can't see it being a table, because if it were a table, it'd be wider and it'd be longer. So maybe this thing that I'm sat on also is made for the size of an adult. So that's all I can think it is. And then I'm in my nightdress. I'm in my blue nightdress and it's got little flowers on it. It's a turquoise blue nightdress. And I love that nightdress. And I'm in it. And it's got little flowers on. And nothing around me because it's in darkness. It's like as if there's light coming onto me and I don't know where this light is coming from. I can't lift my head to see where it's coming from. I'm so weak and my body just has no strength at all. Literally, my head is resting practically on my chin is resting practically on my chest because I have no strength to lift my head up and it's down. But yet I can see with my eyes. I can fully move my eyes, but because my head's down, I can't move my eyes any further than maybe 2 feet in front of me. I can move them at side, but there's blackness at the side, at each side. And I can see that this light is in kind of a circular, but there's something in front of me. And I don't know what it is. I just do not know what this thing is. It's there. I know it's there because it's blocking this circular light. Is it in the circular light with me? I don't know, but it's there. And then I can feel something in my lower back. I didn't know what the word were it then. I'm 13, 14. And what I can say now, it's my coccyx. Because when I've pointed it out to people, oh, yeah, your coccyx. And, but then that age, I didn't know. I just called it bottom of my back, above my bum, you know. And I feel, come forward when people describe being stabbed, they don't actually feel, they feel somewhat pushing, but they don't actually feel that moment of it actually going in, but they feel that pushing on the skin because the blade is so fine. And that's what I'm feeling. Do you get what I mean? It's that I know when they say that, I know that's what I felt. But then I'm also now feeling something is inside me. It's whatever it is now that it is fully inside me. And my organs are touching it. I can feel my organs are touching it. I don't know what organs they are, but it's touching. It's the touching. Could it be my kidneys? Could it? I don't know. But they're touching it now and again. It's moving. So I want to know. I want to know. It's starting to ache a bit now. It's not painful. It's not painful. But it's more of a dull ache than anything else. But I still want to know what it is. So I lift my hand up, but I've no strength. I've no strength. The resting, I've got my hands, my palms resting on my knees. In reality, I'd never sit in that position. Why would I sit in that position? I don't. So I've got my hands on my knees and my knees are together and my right hand, I'm going to pull this thing out, see what it is that's behind me. And with all my mind and strength, I cannot get my hand to lift off my knee. And eventually I do it. I'm struggling by now because of all this thought and all this energy. And it's draining me so much. I'm struggling. I'm practically gasping for air. It's like I'm running for my life, but I'm just sat down trying to gain some energy to get my hand round my back. And eventually my hand comes off and I'm slowly taking every mortal movement of my hand and arm and back drains me that much more. And eventually it feels such a long time. It might have only took seconds. It might have took hours. I don't know, but it felt like such a long time for getting my knee off that to me back. It's then I feel something sticky, something warm, and something cold. And I'm moving my fingers about. I'm moving them about. That wasn't that hard to do. For some reason, moving my fingers about wasn't hard to do. It was the moving from my knee to my back that was the hardest thing. And so I can feel cold, I can feel wet, I can feel sticky, I can feel warm. And now I'm feeling something bony and long. And I realise then, and I think, I know their fingers. I know the fingers. I know it. Well, I wasn't frightened. I was just confused. But with having no energy, it's short-term confusion. It's a mellow confusion. And I realise, and my fingers are now firing to my brain that this thing that I'm feeling that's cold is a tube. The bony thing that I'm feeling are fingers, and the sticky, warm thing is blood. So this thing, and I know it's to the left of me, at the back of me, because while my chin's down, I can still slightly see over my left shoulder. If you make that movement yourself, you can still see there. But they stood behind me, so I'm only seeing movement of whatever it is. Next minute, I feel something take the top of my arm gently, really gently. I don't even think they've grabbed me hand. I don't think they've grabbed me hand, because I'd have known, I'd have felt it round my thumb. I'd have felt it round my little finger. And it's like they've touched the top of my arm and gently brought my right arm forward and placed it back on my knee. I'm then able to look at what this is, this thing. It's on top of my hand, with my hand up on my knee, as not. It's different. It's definitely different. It's got long fingers. I can't tell you whether there's three or four. I can't say that. I can't. It's not grey. It's a brownie colour. And the fingers are really wrinkled. But it's still not registering. I know that they're different. I know what they look like. That's it. So I'm not traumatised at that moment. Whatever it does, it puts its hand back and continues messing about at the base of my spine. I can feel them moving. I can feel this thing moving inside me again, like touching my organs. It's such a weird feeling. And I'm going to get this thing. I want to know where it is. I want to know what this thing is. And with all my strength, I'm building it up again. Building it up. And my willpower's getting stronger. I need to know. And I lift now both hands, which took me to the point of gasping for air, because my hands are taking all that energy. And I eventually get my hands round the back, both of my hands round back of me. I'm now feeling these bony, long things again. And I'm fighting, so it's like I'm fighting with myself, with my own energy. But I'm also fighting with what's ever behind me, what they're doing to me. And I remember having my hand on this bony thing, which I knew was the same as what it that were on my knee, holding my hand down, placing it back down. And my right hand grabbed this thing, which I can now say was the shape of a tube. Now, you've got to bear in mind that your fingers actually magnify things. You can pick some up, your fingers actually magnify it, but when you look at it, it's small. But it does that because it can get the feel of whatever it's got in its hands, in your hands. Then I'm trying to pull this thing out. It's there in my back. I want it out. I want it out. And something, some kind of emotion takes over me where I feel I have got to get this out. And I'm pulling and pulling, and whatever it is pushing and pushing. So as I'm trying to pull it out, whatever it is trying to push it in. And next minute, I recognise this feeling again. It's got my hands. It's resting its hands on top of mine, and it's bringing them forward again. But this time, it's two hands on my two hands. Now the hands are now crossed over. So it's put my left arm on my right knee and my right arm on my left knee. So my wrists are now crossed over. And these hands on top of each hand. And what I'm looking at, I've clicked. I was just absolutely traumatised with what I'm looking at. The wrist, the arm, the fingers. I still can't tell you whether there's three or four fingers that are there. They're a browny colour again. They're mottled, they're wrinkly, really wrinkly. Not deep rinks, lots of little wrinkly things, not deep at all, just little wrinkles everywhere. What we call the palm of his hand don't look like it has a palm. It's like as if the fingers and then these, it kind of just goes up and then to kind of a wrist, if we can call it a wrist, and these long arms. But I can't tell you if these arms are covered with anything. I can't tell you what colour. I'm just focusing on the hands and the wrist, but the arms, I know that they're there. I can see them, they're skinny, but they've got to be the same colour as the hands, unless they're covered. I don't know. I can't. It's fuzzy. That bit is fuzzy. And I'm now fighting with all my strength. I've got to get away from this. I've got to get away from it. Boom, I'm awake. I sit up, poof, I'm in bed, and I sit up straight away. And my grandma is at the bed, right outside of me, because here I live in a one-bedroom house. So I've got my single bed and my grandma's bed, double bed, at the side of me. There's a space so we can get up to walk to the bathroom, you know, whatever we're doing. And as I sat up, it's like as if I felt like I've gone, poof, landed on bed, I've sprung up and I'm wide awake. And I say to my nan that something didn't feel right, but I'd forgotten what had just taken place. And I said to my nan, I'm off to the toilet. It's a natural thing when you get up in the morning, I'm off to the toilet. So as I get out of bed and I'm walking, my grandma said, I think you better go to the toilet. I don't think she'd heard what I'd originally said because she was a bit deaf. I think you better go to the toilet. You've come on your period. All right. I know that when I started my period at 12, and I know the pain that I got days before I started. Cramps, everything, backache, the lot. So when I stood up and she said that, and I thought, well, it don't feel like I'm on a period. As I'm walking on, you've got blood all the way up your nightdress. I'm a bit embarrassed. It's my grandma. You know, I didn't want my grandma, you know, 13-year-old, seeing me like that. So I goes to the bathroom, does what I have to do. Absolutely no blood whatsoever. But yet I could feel sticky. Where my nightie had been, it's sticky, as if it's drying out, you know, like blood would dry out. And I thought, well, it's forgetting that what I've just gone through. Well, what is it? I haven't come on my period. Now, we had this cabinet in the bathroom. It were a plastic, hideous thing. And you could put these toothbrushes and cup and, you know, and it had a glass. It had a mirror that you opened up. And we had a little stool so that when I brushed my teeth when I were younger, the stool were forever there. Even when my grandma passed, it was just there. So when I were younger, I'd stand on buffet so I could see to brush my teeth. So I thought, well, as I'd twisted my nightdress round and I could see this blood on my nightdress, I knew it wasn't my period, that's for sure. So I stood on this buffet. I thought, right, I'll have a look in the mirror. I'll have a look in the mirror. I lifted my nightdress up. And what I saw at this moment, as I'm looking over my shoulder in at mirror with my nightdress kind of hanging over my shoulders, bottom of my nightdress, I saw what looked like three scratches, separate, all same distance, from the top of my neck going down to the all the way down the centre of my bottom of my back. So all the way down my back, these three scratches. I had no nails at all and used to bite them. So I had to grow them. So I knew it wasn't me. It wasn't a cat. It wasn't any of that. It was just so not normal. So around these three scratches down my back, it looked like they were like little, when scabs start to form, so they're like partially brown, but that's drying blood, isn't it? And then, but there wasn't, they looked more like a few days old rather than a few hours old. I then kind of stood on my tiptoes. I thought, well, where is the end of these scratches? So I kind of pushed the buffet a little bit further out and stood on my tiptoes so I could get a clearer angle and a wider vision through the mirror. It's then that I noticed this blood around this thing that was in my back last night. Boom. Everything just come back to me. Everything just come back to me. At that moment, I felt dizzy. I felt sick. I felt weak. All the memory of what happened. This time when I'm feeling this, I get my finger and I'm going like that on the hole. It is a hole. I don't know how deep this hole was because I was that horrified. The width probably of my index finger, it might have been slightly smaller, but it wasn't as small as my small finger, this hole. And I don't know how far it went in because it were a quick feel round edge and my fingertip slightly went in and that were it. I freaked out. I couldn't show my emotion when I went out. I pulled my nightdress on, down, and I thought, I'll go into the bedroom, go get changed, you know, get my clothes, go back in the bathroom, whatever. I could not show my grandma what had happened, what I felt, what I was going through, but I just had to pretend to be normal. How do you pretend to be normal when something like that's just happened? It's there, it's in my head, it's raw. It's raw to this day at 50 year old. And as I went in that bedroom to get my clothes, to go back into the bathroom, all my grandma said was, did you come on your period then? I went, yeah, yeah. She said, well, you're going to get sorted out. Them sort of words. Yeah, I'm going in the bathroom now, you know. It was them sort of, it was that conversation, but yeah, it was that. And I sat downstairs all that day, just in a daze. I could not shake what had just gone on. I just couldn't shake it off at all day, to the point where it probably didn't, that feeling probably didn't wear off for a fair few days. And then, you know, I got out playing with my friends and distractions and we've got friends that we can play out with, you know, can play hide and seek, play ball, skipping, whatever we want to do. Because if we didn't have them distractions at 13 year old for what I just went through. So that's all I can say about that. These things have knowledge and meaning, and they're all connected. It's like trying to put a jigsaw together, but you can never find that end piece, you know?
Everyone's account is a different piece of a jigsaw.
Yeah.
Anyone listening out there, what would you suggest that have had similar experiences like this?
Got to learn to put it in a box. It took me a long while to segregate normal life with that the other life where these things are involved. And you've got to learn to segregate it and put it somewhere. It will open on its own now and again and release, and you will get upset. That's human. It's a human form of getting things out of your system, but is also finding a way to put a lid on that box so you can bring it out when you want to without feeling traumatized by your memories. That's it.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Paula, and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or head on over to my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com and hit me up via the contact page there. A very special thank you to Paula for sharing for us, and thank you for listening. I will be back next Sunday. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.